listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Good morning. I'm Cardinal Francis George. For the next hour, the Archdiocese of Chicago will be hosting discussions on issues, people, and associations that touch our lives. Welcome to the Catholic Community of Faith.
Good morning. Welcome to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM at 9 o'clock on this drizzly Friday morning in Chicago. I'm pastor at St. Mary's in Evanston and co-hosting Graziano Marcheschi, the director of Ministerial
Resource Development
for the Archdiocese of Chicago. How are you, Graz?
I'm good. You didn't tell us who you are, though.
Oh, Father Greg Sackowitz. I thought I gave my name.
There you go.
Oh.
maybe I wasn't listening. I don't know. the only Father Greg Sackowitz.
The unknown radio host with co-host here in St. Mary's in Evanston. And how you doing today, Graz?
Doing great.
You realize at 4:06 a.m. this morning, fall officially began.
Well, that's what would explain why my thermometer said 55 degrees when I got in the car today.
And the engineer, Brian, just said, thanks for ruining my Friday. Is how quickly the summer came and went.
I like fall.
I like fall, too.
I like spring.
Leaf changing.
I'm not a big summer fan. Too hot.
Well, I think in Chicago, each season has its own beauty. But I know many people, when you say that fall is coming, they dread it because they say, well, after fall is winter and, you know, it gets worse. That doesn't bother me. Not at all.
I thought you were going to say some exciting thing happened at 4:30 in the morning. At my house the other night at 11:30 at night, Nancy yells, honey, come to the front door. There was a SWAT team, six officers carrying rifles.
In front of your house?
Right in front of my house. I stayed hidden.
That's amazing. You're not joking.
Not joking. It was because of your town, Evanston.
Oh.
It turned out, first we heard that there were two men in armor carrying guns running through the neighborhood. So I was thinking, oh my gosh, terrorists. But it turned out there had been a break-in in a home in Evanston.
Isn't that something?
And these two guys ran off wielding guns.
I wonder if they found them.
They did not.
Wow, so hope that they are found.
Be careful.
And thank God nobody was hurt. But we got to get to our program here on Catholic Community Faith on Relevant Radio 950. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Our guest for the segment of Catholic Community Faith is Dr. Anne Solari-Twaddell, currently an assistant professor at Loyola University, Chicago, and the former director of the International Parish Nurse Resource Center. Anne will enlighten us on the ministry of, believe it or not, parish nursing, its history and development, the status locally and nationwide, and the training for and the nature of this important parish-based work. Dr. Anne Solari-Twaddell, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you. It's my pleasure to be with both of you this morning.
And I know you are great friends with Graz
yes.
and his wife Nancy from many years ago.
Yes.
And Graz, right before we got on the air, Anne mentioned that when I was pastor at St. Mary of the Woods for 13 years and associate for 5, she said, I am the first communion class
yes.
ever from St. Mary of the Woods. When they moved in 1952, the school opened up in 1954, and Anne was the first communion class.
Well, no wonder she turned out so well.
And yet,
it was the good work of the Sisters of St. Francis
yes.
from Dubuque, Iowa.
And yet she told me she's 37 years old.
Yeah, that's right.
From the first graduating class. So, Anne, welcome to the program this morning.
Thank you. I'm very pleased
Not
to be
only
here.
Am I a friend of Anne's, I'm also a great fan because this is one of the most talented ladies I know. Hardworking, creative. She was running this International Parish Nurse Center, which was a huge deal, and doing her PhD at the same time and writing books. She's just an amazing individual, as I'm sure you'll hear as we talk with her this morning.
Well, thank you, Graz.
But a PhD in what?
From in nursing.
From?
Loyola University, Chicago.
And all that other stuff you were doing, plus going for a doctorate.
Yes, I am a three-time grad from Loyola University Chicago. I did my baccalaureate degree there. I have a master's in public administration from Roosevelt, and then a master's in nursing and a PhD from Loyola.
That's marvelous. Now, when people hear parish nurse,
yes,
for many that's jarring. Like, well, what does that have to do with parish ministry? So maybe, Anne, give us a little bit of historical background regarding a parish nurse. When did this all begin?
The modern day idea of parish nursing began in about 1984. And it was really the work of Reverend Granger Westberg, that was a Lutheran clergyman. And he was very good friends with Mr. George Caldwell, who was then the chief executive officer of Lutheran General Hospital. And he had had in his lifetime the opportunity to run church-based clinics that were staffed by a nurse, a pastor, and a physician. And he there began to understand the value of the nurse as it related to the church. And so he approached Mr. Caldwell then in 84 about this little experiment. And he actually went and got six churches, ecumenical from the beginning, to place a nurse on their staff. And it was to be a health promotion, disease prevention, nursing role.
Do you remember the names of the parishes, or a couple of them, going back to 84?
Yes. Our Lady of Ransom,
sure,
was one of
in
the...
In Niles.
And then there was a UCC church in Glenview. That's still going. And then as time went on, you know, other healthcare systems in the Chicagoland network, like St. Francis and Resurrection, also thought, well, this is a wonderful way in which to engage a market where they could be more focused in offering their educational services, et cetera.
Well, Anne, you used to run the International Parish Nurse Resource Center.
Yes.
You used to host an annual conference called the Westberg,
yes,
Symposium, named after Dr. Westberg. And it was a huge event. You would draw 800, 1,000 nurses,
yes,
from all,
yes,
around the world, actually.
Yeah.
It was very impressive. How did you first come to be involved with parish nursing?
Oh, well, I worked for Lutheran General for 25 years, and I started working part-time in their alcoholic treatment center and then moved to head nurse, director of nursing. And then, of course, as we all know, the money for alcoholism treatment dried up. And I didn't want to leave Lutheran General because I really believed in their philosophy of human ecology. And so at that time, Reverend James Wiley, who was the vice president for mission and church relations, had this little project going where it was working with actually Lutheran congregations on trying to help the people in the pew begin to see their congregation as a health place in the community. So that was going on at the same time that Westberg came with his idea about the nurse on the staff of a church. And so, you know, it was just through those connections that I got involved, because what I could see happening is that there were six nurses, and Westberg, we gave him the little coin name of Johnny Appleseed because he was so enthusiastic. He was going around the country talking about parish nursing, and people were getting excited about it, but they wanted to know, well, how do you do it? So they were trying to find the six nurses, and of course, the six nurses are trying to figure out their role. So at that time, I went to Reverend Wiley, and I said, I think maybe we should start a resource center. Which we did, where we took the knowledge from the six nurses and we kind of packaged it, and then people could contact the resource center to get that basic information rather than reinventing
the
wheel.
So you really have been part of it since the very beginning,
yes,
going back to 1984. We're,
yes,
going to go to a break here on Catholic Community and Faith on Relevant Radio, 9:50 a.m. The time is coming up on 9:09 on this cloudy, drizzly Friday morning, first day of fall here in Chicago. 312-255-8408. I'm Father Greg Sackwitz, along with Grazia Marcheschi and our guest, Dr. Anne Solari-Twaddell. Stay with us. We'll be back right after a break, and do not touch that dial.
Each night, thousands of families face homelessness in Chicago. Those families aren't just statistics, They're your neighbors, your friends. They could even be part of your own family.
I had lost my job, so I wasn't working, and I had run out of all my savings, so I ended up losing my apartment. And I went to stay with my sister, but she's got this small little itty-bitty condo, so we were all sleeping on the floor. So I started calling around for the housings and everything, and they told me to call Catholic Charities, and it just happened when I got through, Joanne answered the phone, and she goes, you know, you got me just at the right time. We're actually doing interviews right now. You want to come in? And she gave me the whole rundown of everything and how the program works and everything. She goes, is this something you can do? And I looked at her and says, you're offering me a roof over my head, something more than I've got right now. And I'm willing to do anything to keep that roof over my head.
Catholic Charities of Chicago is there to provide a helping hand to the homeless. Find out how to help us help the most needy. Visit CatholicCharities.net.
Real men answer the call to the priesthood. Is God calling you?
You know, I'm honored to be a priest for the Archdiocese of Chicago. I think it's great.
There's a desire to want to give back and to help and to serve those who are especially in need.
I think there's a wonderful opportunity for us to bring good news to a world that's very much in need.
When I experience through my ministry someone being brought closer to the Lord, it's an exciting, thrilling moment.
If you feel God's call to a priestly vocation, contact us at 312-751-8298. Or visit our website at chicagopriest.com. John Paul II once said, do not be afraid. Open your heart to Christ. The deepest joy there is in life is the joy that comes from God. Jesus is the hope of the world. The people are calling. The world is calling. God is calling. Answer the call to the priesthood.
And welcome back to Catholic Community Faith. I'm Graziano Marcheschi, co-hosting. I'm a little pebble, co-hosting with the bedrock, Father Greg Sackowitz.
That's a nice tie. Did you lose a bet?
Did I lose a bet? No. This is one of my brand newest ties that my lovely wife bought for me.
It's
you're
going to
be
beautiful.
In big trouble when
it's,
you see her next time.
It's a beautiful tie.
Thank you.
Really,
Thank you.
I wish our listeners could see it.
Yeah. It's a tie made for radio. We are talking this morning to Dr. Ancillary Twaddell, who is an assistant professor in the School of Nursing at Loyola University and has been the director of the International Parish Nurse Resource Center. Now, that term, parish nurse, might be new to some of you. If there are any parish nurses listening out there, give us a call. Or if you've benefited from the services of a parish nurse, we'd love to hear from you. Phone number 312-255-8408. And because that is a concept that might be new to a lot of people, help us understand the connection between parish and nursing. Why would a parish want a nurse on their staff? What is the natural connection between church and health?
Well, when you look at why the church, there's a lot of reasons. First of all, there's no denomination that is not focused on health and healing. It's webbed through all of Scripture. The second is that the church is one of the only agencies in the community that interfaces with a person from birth until death. The church is intended to be counterculture, and a lot of the health promotion ideas really work against our culture today. The church is a volunteer organization which offers people that opportunity to be of service, and that's at the basis of a healthy spiritual life. The church crosses all socioeconomic levels, races, and ages. Many places, like in the rural areas, there may not be a hospital, but there'll be a church, and that's where people will gather. So the church usually is also interested in serving the community at large. And from our youngest years, the church helps us form our values and to make better decisions on a daily basis. And that can happen with health as well, because many of the chronic illnesses that people are dealing with today are a result of poor lifestyle or poor choices earlier in their life.
No, it's so ironic you say that, because as a priest now for 32 years, I have visited thousands of people in the hospital. They can be young, middle-aged, elderly. And like you say, Anne, the church is involved from birth until the death. And yet, the whole sense of parish nurse, we don't think in terms of the health of an individual physically. We certainly talk about the health spiritually, mentally, emotionally. But you know, I'll be honest with you, like my own eating habits, they're lousy.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll admit, you know, I'll watch this tomorrow. I could probably need to lose 10 or 15 pounds. I'll do that next week.
Yeah.
So we never think in terms of a parish from a physical health point of view. And yet if someone's in the hospital, you'd like a visit from a priest, a deacon, or one of the lay ministers.
Well, to me, this is sort of the paradoxical piece of it, because clergy and pastors are very interested in having healthy involvement by their people.
Correct.
But if their people aren't healthy, then are they going to have the energy to volunteer on top of doing work and taking care of their family? Probably not.
But every meeting has donuts.
Absolutely. And just look at the church, the potluck suppers.
Oh, yeah.
But just think, if you had a health committee in your church and, you know, serve the regular potluck stuff, but then you have another table that's got healthy recipes with the dish. So someone that's diabetic or has cardiac disease, they're on a restricted diet, they can see what it is that they're eating, because that's an issue for many of people in our churches today. That it's the simple things. It's not, you know, rocket science. But by the presence of a nurse, I think it keeps that message of we are stewards of a gift, which is our personal health. And we have a responsibility as stewards to take care of those personal health resources that we've been given. And the church, that's part of their role, is to make sure that we're in the best place to not only regularly attend service, but to be in service to our neighbor. So it's not that I want to look like a specimen of health. I want to be in the best position when I'm called upon to serve another.
You know, I really liked what you said about in a rural area, let's say, there may not be a hospital, but there will be a church.
Right.
And it struck me that in some lower income areas, there may not be hospitals, or people may not feel that they can go to a hospital, but they'd go to churches. And if the churches were more aware of all the things that you've just been saying, how they can participate in the wellness of their parishioners, it could make a huge difference.
But I think Father Sackowitz brings up a very important piece, and that is that if the pastor himself is not interested in having anybody watch over what he's eating or how he's spending his time or exercising, why would you want a nurse right there?
The thing, ironically, you know, we're always getting memos from the Archdiocese for us priests, take care of yourself.
Right.
Are you getting a physical? I had my first physical this summer, first one in 3 years, and I'm 58 years old because I was too busy.
Yeah.
And I consider myself in, you know, pretty good health and not bad shape, but most priests, myself included, we're not good at taking care of ourselves physically.
No.
Many do, many do not. We're going to go to the phones here. Father Jim O'Brien is on the line with a comment about his experience with a parish nurse. Jim, Father Jim O'Brien, welcome to Catholic Community Faith. How are you, Jim?
I'm fine, Greg, and it's good to hear your voice on the radio, not just in person.
Well, Jim is one of the outstanding, now retired priests of the Archdiocese of Chicago, and former pastor of St. Eugene's.
He must have taken good care of himself.
He does. Now, Father O'Brien does take care of himself. So, Jim, it's great to hear your voice. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. And I don't want to, you know, the show is fantastic as always this morning, but while in St. Eugene, my sister teaches nursing at Xavier in Cincinnati, and we talked about parish nurse, and actually the parish nurse program started at Resurrection. We were one of the first nurses out of Resurrection Hospital. And just a very anecdote, she was on duty for about a week. A woman called and said, "Something's wrong. My husband's home from the hospital a couple of weeks. He's getting worse, not better. I'm afraid to call the doctor." So she went over. It turned out that medications were wrong. She was getting, lack of better words, aspirin and anti-aspirin. And so we straightened things out. Also, I help out periodically at Mother of the Church Parish, which is just southwest of St. Eugene. Joan, the parish nurse there, is a fantastic person. So I'd like to see every parish have him, Greg, really.
Well, that is terrific, Jim. And so, which means when you had that parish nurse on board when you were at St. Eugene's, within a week, a call came to the office, and the parish nurse went out and helped this family realize that the medication was not proper.
Actually, it was the pharmacist had gotten two doctor's drugs, and they were opposites, and she didn't catch that, and the pharmacist didn't either. Actually, the pharmacist also got a phone call, believe it or not.
And so that saved that family and the healthcare system another admission to the hospital and possibly the health and well-being of that parishioner.
Absolutely, doctor.
Well, that's a great story, Jim, that, but again, you'd be the first to agree, when you think of parish in the Archdiocese of Chicago, we'll just put it here in this local church, we don't think in terms of part of the staff as having a parish nurse. Am I correct, Jim?
Yes.
And yet, ironically, the church has a long, long tradition in health care ministry.
Well, and if you look at early history, the sisters started a lot of the hospitals that we have today. So there was always a focus and attention to those that were sick and ill.
We're going to go to a break here on Catholic Communion of Faith. First of all, I want to thank Father Jim O'Brien, Pastor Emeritus of St. Eugene Parish in Chicago, for the wonderful call. Jim, keep up the great work. I know you're still very active and busy. Our phone number, 312-255-8408. Be with us right after this break.
Catholic New World has been your faith resource for well over a century. Archbishop Patrick Feehan recognized the need for a strong Catholic voice in 1892 and launched Chicago's first Catholic newspaper. Bishop Feehan named our Catholic newspaper using a theme from the Columbian Exposition, the New World that gave people hope for a brighter future. Today, the Catholic New World is better than ever. It's a rich and diverse resource for Chicagoland Catholics with stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Cardinal Francis George and our team of columnists offer compelling insights on spirituality, catechesis, and evangelization. Visit our website at CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and while you're there, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777. Our look has changed, but we are still your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
Do you need to train leaders and educate your assembly about the new words we will soon hear and say at Mass? Mystical Body, Mystical Voice DVD and Formation Program is a proven resource that gives church professionals tools with which to teach about the liturgy and about the new words of the Revised Roman Missal. Not only will this program help ease the transition to using the new Mass texts, but it will open the eyes of your assembly to the riches of the liturgy. Advent 2011 is fast approaching. To prepare your parish and provide them with an opportunity for ongoing faith and liturgical formation, call Liturgy Training Publications at 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org. That's 800-933-1800 or visit ltp.org.
Friday morning in Chicago, and you're listening to Catholic Radio, the radio voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago, and we're grateful that you've made that choice. We're talking this morning with Dr. Ancillari Twaddell of Loyola University's School of Nursing. We're talking specifically about parish nursing, but also just talking about health in general. And we were talking before the break, Anne, about the long tradition within the church of health care ministry that really continues the healing ministry of Jesus. So it's really no crazy thing that the church would be involved in health because Jesus was involved in people's health.
Absolutely. And so this concept really isn't new. It's just new for these times. So when you look at nurse, you know, most people think of medical, hospital, medicines, injections, but really the role of the nurse is much more comprehensive in that all nurses are really educated to care for the body, the mind, and the spirit. So they're very whole person oriented. Also, nurses know the resources in the community. So if somebody needs help and the nurse works with them, they're likely to get to the right resource the first time and not have to shop around. Also, nurses bring a very professional perspective to health ministry. Yes, they're lay people, but they're professionals. They also, when you look at health professionals, are one of the most trusted individuals. So if someone in the church is looking for a resource and they know you're a nurse, they're going to ask you, well, what do you think about da-da-da-da-da?
My wife would second that to the nth degree, because she said whenever she's been in the hospital, particularly after cesarean sessions delivering our children, she said it was the nurses who got her well.
Yeah, and you know, when you talk to the parish nurses, they're saying, this is the way I always wanted to practice. I wanted to be able to use my faith in caring for other people. And in many settings, that's restricted.
You know, and also in many ways, when we are healthy on all fronts, we feel good about ourselves.
Yes.
When you feel good about yourself, it's better than to reach out. And you're right, in the life of Christ, he was about the health of the individual physically, mentally, emotionally, of course, spiritually, as it's connected with relationship. So when we say that, I feel lousy, we've also had the expression, I feel lousy. I mean, more than just a cold. Well, that affects the well-being of the individual. So to have a parish nurse that you mentioned during the break, the nurse goes beyond the sense of disease.
Yes.
Say more about that, Anne.
Yes. So, you know, a nurse will bring usually many years of experience. And when you look at a lot of the issues a pastor deals with, they have to do with death and dying, terminal illness, chronic illness, and pastors aren't always equipped to, you know, be focused on that. They don't know the resources. But when we look at health and healing in the context of a faith community, health is more than the absence of disease. So when you say, well, if I feel lousy, then that affects me. Absolutely. But if I'm a mother, it affects my family. If I'm a father, it affects my family. It can affect my work life. So it goes beyond when we look at the loss of productivity because I'm not on top of my game, okay? I think that we aren't looking at people as,
you know,
body,
a great example,
mind, and spirit.
Look how we are individually with lack of sleep. When you don't get enough sleep. I'm notorious for sometimes not getting enough sleep, and it affects you. In words, you're not as sharp, you're not as quick, you're not as responsive, or lousy eating habits. You know, what's going into the system, but then all then connects that with spiritually.
Yes.
Before we close the segment, Anne, what is the number one myth regarding a parish nurse? What's the number one?
Oh, that's an excellent question. I would say that because people don't understand health in the broader context and they don't understand the church as a health place in the community, they don't see the fit. And that would be number one. And number two is that the parish nurse just does nice little things for people. This is a very complex nursing role.
And, you know, dealing with loss and suffering is one of the greatest challenges and one of the greatest mysteries that people have to deal with. It's like,
yes.
Why do good people have to suffer? Obviously, health is one of the areas that people experience suffering the most. If you could have a person of faith who's also a person who can provide health. What a wonderful opportunity to bring all that together.
And I will tell you that in many parishes where there is a nurse, there is a vitality. People are feeling good. They're able to volunteer. There is all sorts of ministries that are then capable of reaching out to the community at large. And that's what the life of the church is intended to be. There are more passages in Scripture about health and healing than music. And yet almost every parish has a minister of music, but no minister of health.
On good that note, point. Which is a great, that I never, geez, Gratz, I never thought of that one.
Well, you
but
better,
that's true.
You better go home and hire a parish nurse, Greg.
That's very interesting. I want to thank in a very special way Dr. Anne Solari-Twaddell, currently an assistant professor at Loyola University and the former director of the International Parish Nurse Resource Center. Anne, you are literally a wealth of knowledge in this area. Your enthusiasm, you're tremendous at what you do. God bless you.
If people want to know more about parish nursing.
Is there a phone number to learn more about parish nursing?
Just go to Loyola University Chicago School of Nursing website, and I'm there. But also, if they want to contact the International Parish Nurse Resource Center, the number currently is 314-918-2559.
And we'll be back right after a break. Again, Dr. Anne Solari-Twaddell, thank you and God bless you.
Thank you very much.
Join Team Catholic Charities for the 2011 AIDS Run Walk in Grant Park on Saturday, October 1st as an active participant or sponsoring member. 100% of the funds raised by the team are returned to Catholic Charities HIV/AIDS case management programs, food pantry, and ministry in Cook and Lake counties. For more information, please call the Catholic Charities Office of Volunteer Relations at 312-655-7322. Together, we can make a difference.
Most interment arrangements at the 43 Archdiocese of Chicago cemeteries are made through a pre-need plan. Your thoughtful planning today is economically prudent and contributes to peace of mind for you and your loved ones. Catholic Cemeteries counselors are available at your convenience. For more information, call 708-449-6100. Catholic Cemeteries, serving the Catholic community since 1837.
If you haven't read the Catholic New World lately, you're in for quite a surprise. It's bigger, bolder, and better than ever before.
The Catholic New World is a rich and diverse resource for Catholics throughout the Archdiocese of Chicago. It carries stories of faith, hope, and inspiration. Our most read column is written by our publisher, Cardinal Francis George, our shepherd, teacher, and leader.
Our columnists provide support in spirituality and evangelization, and you'll want to browse the Around the Archdiocese page, your gateway to Catholic activities throughout Cook and Lake counties.
Are you constantly on the go? Then stay connected to your church by visiting CatholicNewWorld.com and sign up to follow us on Twitter.
That's CatholicNewWorld.com. View our photo gallery, catch up on the latest news, and if you haven't already, subscribe to the Catholic New World or call 312-534-7777.
Your faith resource. Subscribe now to the Catholic New World.
You're listening to Catholic Talk Radio in Chicago and the suburbs on Relevant Radio 950 AM.
Every Monday through Friday from 9 to 10 a.m., the Archdiocese of Chicago presents programming about the people, the issues, and the faith that affect all our lives. Thanks for staying with us here on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Now again, the Catholic Community of Faith.
Welcome back to Catholic Community of Faith on Relevant Radio 950 AM. The time is exactly 9:33 on this Friday morning in Chicago and Gratz. Fall is officially 5.5 hours old.
Wow.
Amazing. Only here on Relevant Radio would you hear that.
Start getting those rakes out. And
and guess what?
And carving those pumpkins.
Sunday, Bears-Packers in Chicago.
Well, I hope they don't get creamed this time.
If they play like they did last Sunday, it'll be a long afternoon.
It will be.
They're only taking on the world champions, and talk about a rivalry, and even our guest Nestor is smiling with that. Phone number 312-255-8408. Might as well talk football. Baseball is long over in Chicago this year. Our guest, Nestor Popowicz, an architect by profession and the co-chair of the St. Nicholas Eparchy's Golden Jubilee Committee. Nestor has been leading the planning and implementation of the program events for over a year. He's here to describe for our listeners some of the many colorful events that include a traveling icon, a procession in Ukrainian village, and a pontifical liturgy with Cardinal Francis George, Archbishop of Chicago, and other dignitaries of the Eastern Rite Catholic Churches. Nestor, welcome to Catholic Community of Faith.
Thank you very much, Father Greg.
So it sounds like you've got a lot going on, and you've been leading as chair of this event for over now 1 year.
Yes, in fact, it's well over a year. It's probably closer to 16 months. But whenever a historic event like this is taking place, there's a tremendous amount of planning that goes on, and not only the planning, but a great team of people, volunteers, all from the eparchy. And it's coming to a culmination in the next couple days here.
Now, before we get into the specifics of the celebration, a word like eparchy is probably unfamiliar to a lot of our listeners. So why don't you explain to us what it is that we're talking about, what it is that we're celebrating?
Certainly.
Tell us about the rite in particular.
Certainly. The St. Nicholas eparchy is an eparchy led by our Bishop Richard Semenek here in Chicago that includes about 48 states, or encompasses 48 states. From a line drawn from Detroit all the way west to Hawaii. It was founded in 1961. And the St. Nicholas Eparchy has had four bishops in its 50-year history, with the current Eparch, as I said, Most Reverend Richard Stevens.
Now, Nestor, am I right in saying in the Archdiocese of Chicago, there are four Ukrainian Catholic churches? Because one of them comes to my mind is one on Cumberland, just south of the Kennedy Expressway.
Correct. St. Joseph's.
St. Joseph. And I remember I was actually living in Park Ridge as a boy when that church was being built. And those domes are magnificent. So anybody listening that has gone down Cumberland by the Kennedy, you can't miss St. Joseph Ukrainian Church. And that's one of the four, and there are three others in the Chicagoland and suburb area. Am I correct?
Correct. Two of which are right in Ukrainian, the heart of Ukrainian village, of course, the cathedral, St. Nicholas Cathedral, and just a block away south is Saints Volodymyr and Olha Catholic Church.
And the fourth one is, I think, west of here in a suburb?
That is...
is it like Naperville or something, or...
It escapes me.
I should know this. How about Sports for 100?
So this is an Eastern Rite Church, the Ukrainian Catholic Church, that's in union with Rome.
That's correct.
While it has its own internal life and the bishop is elected internally, then the Pope ratifies the election of the...
Absolutely, and we're fortunate to have our newly enthroned patriarch, Sviatoslav, who flew in from Kyiv, Ukraine yesterday, who is the head of our entire church globally.
Who's a very young man.
Who's a very young man. And
41, I think?
Yes, and God bless his soul. He will have an intensive 2-3 days here in Chicago, but he's, from what I understand, very happy to be here to visit the eparchy and be involved in 3 days.
See, people forget, Nestor, that when we're talking about the Ukrainian church here in Chicago, as you're mentioning, it is Catholic.
Absolutely.
So then, and people forget that.
Absolutely. We have our own Byzantine rite, and I won't get into the very depth or the specifics of it, but we are Catholics of the Byzantine rite. The eparchy, as I said, was created in 1961, after Pope John the 23rd signed the papal bull erecting the eparchy in Chicago for Ukrainians to serve for the escalating numbers of organized Ukrainian Catholics in the entire Midwest and the West, and as I said, through California and into Hawaii. So it's a huge, huge area to cover.
So now if you go east of Detroit, would that be a different region?
That would be another eparchy.
Okay, another eparchy.
Yes.
Okay.
Which in Western terms would be a diocese.
Yes, right. Correct. And so our eparchy, the St. Nicholas eparchy, is responsible for all states west of Ohio, Kentucky, Tennessee, and Mississippi. And of course, historically speaking, in 1961, when it was established, our first bishop was Most Reverend Yaroslav Gabro. He's a native born, he was a native born, a native son of St. Nicholas Ukrainian Catholic Parish, and at that time, of course, designated as a cathedral.
Quick question, what is your language of worship?
Ukrainian.
Ukrainian.
Yes.
Okay. All right, we need to go to a quick break, and when we return, we'll continue our conversation with Nestor Popowicz regarding the 50th anniversary celebration of the St. Nicholas Eparchy. Don't go away. We'll be right back after these brief messages.
September is National Hunger Action Month, and Catholic Charities needs you to join the fight to end hunger in our communities. Organize a food drive in your neighborhood, donate to one of Catholic Charities' many food and nutrition programs, or sponsor one of our food pantries. Visit www.catholiccharities.net/hunger or call us at 312-655-7315 to find out how you can be a hunger hero. Join the fight to end hunger today.
Choosing an elementary school for your child is one of the biggest decisions you will ever make to shape your child's future. So why pick a Catholic school?
I want my kids to learn more than the three R's. They need a faith-based education so they make good decisions.
I want my son and daughter to go to college. At Catholic schools, attendance and graduation rates are nearly 100%. And when these kids graduate, they go to college.
My teacher is so cool. She knows who I am. She helps me when I have trouble figuring things out.
My son is in the number. The student-teacher ratio is 18 to 1, and Catholic school teachers are really dedicated.
I want my daughter to feel welcome, to be safe.
The test scores are well above the national average. Look out, college. Here they come.
Go to www.archchicago.org and click on Schools to learn more about the great benefits of a Catholic education. Invest in your child's future. Make your child a winner for life.
In the morning on this Friday. Thank God it's today, because we're always grateful for the day that God gives us. And Father Graziano Marcheschi with Father Greg Sakowicz, talking with Nestor Popowicz, who is representing the St. Nicholas Eparchy, and talking to us about their Golden Jubilee celebration. You know, I'm just fascinated in the whole Byzantine Rite and in the Ukrainian Catholic Church. There are four parishes in the Chicago area.
And the fourth was?
Immaculate Conception.
In Palatine.
In Palatine.
Got it.
Yes.
There are 365 Roman Rite parishes. So we Roman Rite folks are used to, you know, running into each other and rubbing elbows. I'm interested in understanding what's it like to be part of a small rite where there are only four parishes, where you don't see people like you all over the place. Talk about that a little bit.
Well, first of all, I stand corrected. There are more than four. There are others. There's on the south side. In fact, your guest last week, Father Basil Salkowski, is the dean of a certain section of churches, and certainly he's a pastor in his own church on the south side. There are others that we can list. So
okay, so there's actually more than four.
Yes, there.
Oh,
yes, there
are. I stand corrected. Okay.
And so, but nevertheless, it is certainly doesn't meet the numbers that the archdiocese has. And to answer your question, what's it like to be part of that? We in the Byzantine Rite have a tremendous tradition, and certainly our divine liturgies are a little different, because they tend to be more colorful and lengthy, if you will.
How long is the typical Eucharistic liturgy?
Well, it's typically an hour, but That's a short version. It can very easily be extended to 2 hours plus. And certainly the Pontifical Divine Liturgy this Sunday will be at a minimum of 2 hours.
Now, that'll be this Sunday.
That's this Sunday.
We're at, Mr.
And that's at the St. Nicholas Cathedral, which I can probably enumerate for you in a kind of a short schedule of the weekend's events.
In fact, why don't we do that right now?
Certainly.
Well, at least, so it'll be this Sunday. Is it at 2 or 3 p.m.?
Well, it's at it begins at 2 o'clock with a solemn procession from St. Nicholas School, including about 33 parishes from the United States. So representatives from each parish of the eparchy.
Which is 33 out of the possible 48.
Yes.
That's very good.
And so each parish will be represented with a banner. They'll gather at 2 o'clock, and they will begin their procession along Rice Street. We've acquired permits to close the street with the help of the City of Chicago. And passing the chancery, which is immediately across the street from the cathedral, will be our Bishop Richard Semenek, our patriarch Svetoslav, our metropolitan from Philadelphia, Stefan Soroka, and certainly our beloved Cardinal Francis George. And so the procession continues on to Oakley and goes into the cathedral, where we expect a full capacity of at least 1,000 people, probably more. We've already planned for an excess of that so that the lower level of the cathedral has...
What year was the St. Nicholas Cathedral built? Any idea?
Yes. As a matter of fact, it was started around 1906.
So a little over 100 years ago.
Oh, it's well over 100 because we celebrated the centennial in 1906, which I was very much involved in also. And so the Divine Liturgy then begins at 3 o'clock and goes on to probably 5 or a little bit
after.
Tell
us about this traveling icon.
I can do that. Basically, the celebration process for this Golden Jubilee celebration started last year in Detroit in May. And that's, of course, the easternmost state of the eparchy. And it had the initial conference and the unveiling of and blessing, of course, of what we call the Jubilee icon. And just a short note about this Jubilee icon. It's named the icon of the patronage of the Mother of God. During the Jubilee observations throughout the eparchy, and again beginning in Detroit last year, they conclude December 6th of this year, 2011, in Chicago, a great emphasis was placed on uniting the faithful under the protection of the Mother of God. And so to help achieve this, a special icon was commissioned for the Jubilee celebration on the direction of Bishop Richard Semenek. And the design for the icon was selected from different prototypes of the image of the protection of Mother of God. The final design depicts her particular protection over the cathedral church, depicted beneath her. And anyone curious to see the specific icon, we have it on our website.
And what is that website, Nestor?
We have two, stnicholascathedral.org. And ESNUCC.org. And you can click on the links. You'll see
the
Jubilee.
It's a very beautiful image.
It's beautiful. I wish this were television. We could hold it up to the camera.
And icons are not painted. They're written.
Well, they are. There's a detailed process that really is an art form.
You know, Nestor, just to kind of sidestep it for a second here, I mean, you have been incredibly involved. You said back in 2006 with the 100th anniversary of St. Nicholas Cathedral and now at the 50th anniversary celebration now. Have you always been this, just on a personal note, have you always been this deeply involved in your church?
I've been involved to a certain extent, but I would say that in the last 20 years, I got deeply involved because I felt that we have to have our word shown and spoken out there, and I believe that we have a lot going on.
I guess what I'm saying, I raise it because I look at you. I've never met you before, and you're talking with such passion and conviction, and the fact that you are an architect by trade, you don't have to be here right now, or the hours that you have spent with the celebration in the 5 years ago, I'm just deeply impressed as a man of God, as a man of faith, that the work you are doing in your church, I just want to say thank you.
Well, thank you for that compliment. I grew up in Chicago. I went to St. Nicholas School. We baptized our son in the cathedral. We're very proud. Our parents still live in the Ukrainian neighborhood. We're there at least 3 times a week. We will continue to support not only the St. Nicholas Cathedral, but certainly the community at large.
I want to hear about the 3 times a week that you go to church, but first we're going to take a short break. You've been listening to Catholic Community of Faith. When we return, we'll continue our conversation about the St. Nicholas Eparchy 50th anniversary celebration. Please stay with us.
I'm Father Robert Barron. Our new Catholicism documentary series and study program can now be pre-ordered online. Go to CatholicismPreorder.com. Will you help me introduce this one-of-a-kind film series and catechetical program to your parish, school, and diocese? Journey around the world and deep into the faith in this 10-part, 10-hour epic adventure. Learn more at CatholicismPreorder.com.
Game with the Catholic Charities Junior Board for a good cause. Saturday, November 12th is the Junior Board's signature fundraiser, and we hope you'll join us. The 5th annual Charities Royale Casino Night and Silent Auction will take place at the beautiful St. Ignatius College Prep. We have an A-list lineup with live music by Underwater People, delicious food from Cafe Bianda, 3 open bars, blackjack, craps, roulette, an incredible lineup of silent auction and raffle items, including 2 trips to the Bahamas, and much more. Tickets are only $80 and are on sale now at CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard. This black tie optional event is open to anyone over the age of 21. More than half of your ticket price will go directly to the Catholic Charities Emergency Assistance Programs, providing food, clothing, shelter, and other crucial emergency services to the poorest of the poor in Cook and Lake Counties. Game with us for a good cause. For details, call Lisa at 312-655-7932 or visit CatholicCharities.net/JRBoard.
Thank you for staying with us on this Friday morning. You're listening to Catholic Community of Faith, Graziano Marcheschi and Father Greg Sakowitz. For this hour, the radio voice of the Catholic Archdiocese of Chicago. And we're talking with Nestor Popowicz, who is here telling us about a grand celebration planned for the 50th anniversary of the institution of the Chicago Eparchy. Of the Ukrainian Catholic Church?
That's correct.
Which was done by, you mentioned earlier, Pope John the 23rd. You know, the whole notion of different rites within the church is a fascinating one that unfortunately most people know next to nothing about. Mm-hmm. We probably should do a whole show bringing
That's
in a couple
right.
people just to help us understand the relationship.
Western Rite, ours, Eastern Rite.
Yeah, the autonomy and yet the unity
similarity, yeah.
that we share mm-hmm. With the uniate churches, the churches that are in union with Rome. Well, tell us some of the specifics about the celebration that you have coming up to commemorate.
Does it begin this evening, Nestor?
It begins this evening. It actually began last night with the arrival of our patriarch, Svetoslav at O'Hare from London. There was a contingent of priests and the bishop to greet him. And this morning, he's got a full day. And tonight, we really begin with a Friday evening private, sort of semi-private reception held at the Ukrainian National Museum on Superior Street and Oakley in Chicago, right in the Ukrainian village. And basically, that's the opening reception, and the museum also has the Eparchial Jubilee Historical Exhibit.
And what is happening then tomorrow?
And so tomorrow we begin at 10 a.m. with a unique youth conference that starts at 10 o'clock. We've invited about 180 students from Saturday Schools of Ukrainian Studies from the entire Chicago area and suburbs. And so they'll be bussed in from St. Joseph's by
Park Ridge. Now, are they grammar school, high school?
They're all grammar school. They're from fifth grade and up. And so the theme of the conference will be, quote, the unique contributions of the Eastern Church to the world's transformation. And it'll be given by Father James Bankston, who's formerly from St. Nicholas Cathedral, and currently serving in an eparchial parish in San Diego. And then, so he begins at 10, and then at about 11:15, our patriarch, Svetoslav, will also attend this session and speak to the students. And so that's going to be very enlightening, and we're very excited about that. It ends at 12, from where the priests at the youth conference, as well as the patriarch, all go next door to the church, Saints Volodymyr and Olha Church, where an akathist service, which basically in the Eastern Catholic Rite is a hymn service dedicated to a saint, and in this case it's the icon, which I just described. Anyway, this akathist service will be held at that church, St. Volodymyr and Olha, on Superior and Oakley, where the Jubilee icon currently resides. And so it resides there because it's on its last leg of an 18-month pilgrimage throughout the parishes.
Now, where's this icon going to be enshrined? Because we've only got
about a half a minute left. It will be in the St. Nicholas Cathedral. And so the procession starts and goes along Oakley into the cathedral, and at which point it'll be completed there, and the icon will find its permanent residence there.
Well, I do want to say thank you very much. I know that you had such a tremendous weekend lined up of activities and dignitaries and over 1,000 people. Real quickly,
and of course, Sunday is the Pontifical Divine
with
Liturgy.
Procession at 2. Liturgy at 3.
And I did neglect to say that a gala banquet will be held on Saturday night at the Hyatt McCormick, and certainly we're expecting well over 500 people there.
Thank in a very special way Nestor Popowicz, an architect by profession and the co-chair of the St. Nicholas Eparchy Golden Jubilee Committee. Thank you very much, Nestor, for sharing with us all the activities. Congratulations on 50 years. Special thanks to co-host Grazia Marcheschi, to our outstanding producer, Diane Dunnigan, and great engineer, Brian Hockey, Hitman Brock. To our listeners, thank you for being with us. A blessed fall season. To all of you, have a great weekend. And go Bears! Beat the Packers.
Yes, thank you.
This is Cardinal Francis George. Thank you for being with us this past hour on Relevant Radio 950 AM. Join us every day, Monday through Friday, as the Archdiocese of Chicago presents the Catholic Community of Faith. Have a wonderful day, and God bless you.